Our journey through these three holy days, this Triduum, brings us to the silence of this night, to a church stripped of all ornament, of all adornment, to the harsh reality of a day that we call good. This night we are invited to come before the stark reality of the cross, that instrument of torture and death, that instrument used by the Romans in the first century to punish political insurrectionists. At the beginning of the Gospel according to John, John sets forth in soaring language his theology that the Word becomes flesh, that God stoops to put on humanity in the person of Jesus. The eternal Word present at the creation of the world accepts the limits of being creature in order to show the depth of God's love. This evening we heard from the end of that gospel where John tells us about Jesus, that eternal Word, Jesus, love incarnate, who now hangs on the cross, who suffers and who dies. The starkness of this night brings us face to face with the fullness of our human nature. Though created in God's image, made for relationship with God, our unruly will rejects the one who is love. Last night on Maundy Thursday, we heard of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. This act of service, an act reserved for slave and servant, Jesus offers to his disciples. He washes their feet, showing his love for them, showing them how to live as his followers. It is his loving gift to them. And he commands them and commands us to do the same, to wash one another's feet. He commands us to love as he loves. And this night we see the depth of that love that Jesus has as he willingly goes to the cross. The innocent one, guilty only of loving, that is his only crime. And for that he is punished. The love that he lives threatens the world, threatens the powers that be, threatens them so profoundly that he must be killed. This night we are confronted with the harsh reality of our human nature, of our rejection of God, of our desire to act for ourselves first, of our need to amass possessions far more than we need, of our need to find power and honor for ourselves, no matter who suffers from that pursuit, and our need to return violence for violence, answering every insult, every slight in kind. How I wish I could say that those forces that killed Jesus some 2,000 years ago no longer exist. But sadly, they do. They are in full force and evidence in our world. Just this week, the state of North Carolina enacted legislation signed by its governor, in essence stripping LGBT people of our rights, of any justice gained in the past several years. Exclusion and hate overcoming inclusion and justice. In the Passion Gospel we read tonight, we have a gospel that is responsible for violent acts against the Jewish community throughout the ages. John mentions the Jews 71 times in his gospel, and almost every one of those mentions is negative. It matters not that Jesus, his disciples, and most of the authorities are Jewish. All but Jesus are shown to be acting against God's plan. And so it is not an accident that at various times in history, violence against the Jewish community has escalated during Holy Week. It is not an accident the Holocaust happened with millions who were Jewish displaced, tortured, and killed. Killed by people professing to be Christian. And the cross itself, that very symbol has been used as a symbol of intimidation and oppression. In the hands of the Ku Klux Klan, a cross set on fire strikes fear and terror into the hearts of the African American community. During this Lent, a group of us have been reading and discussing James Cone's book, The Cross and the Lynching Tree. And from this book, we learned that between 1880 and 1940, nearly 5,000 African Americans were lynched, were hung on a tree. Lynching was used in this country to enforce white power and dominance, with clear echoes of Jesus' death on the cross, a death meant to be an example for anyone challenging the powers of the status quo. Cone reminds us that whites largely have been silent about this sinful history, even white Christians. And he asserts it is only in talking about this history, as uncomfortable and painful as it is, can we begin true work of racial reconciliation. And then Cone also offers us a perspective, his own perspective, as an African-American scholar and Christian minister who grew up during those lynching years, who remembers his parents telling him about lynching. He writes, and I quote, "African Americans embraced the story of Jesus, the crucified Christ, whose death they claimed paradoxically gave them life, just as God resurrected him in the life of the earliest Christian community. While the lynching tree symbolized white power and black death, the cross symbolized divine power and black life, God overcoming the power of sin and death." For African Americans living a life overshadowed by terror, by the threat of torture and death, the cross of Jesus offered solace and hope. Though Jesus died on Good Friday, the evil powers of this world did not prevail. For God raised Jesus from the dead, raised him to resurrection life, a life death cannot destroy. The cross offers hope to all who are oppressed. The cross offers promise to those living in fear and in terror. The cross offers refuge for those who despair. The cross offers healing for those burdened by sins and failings. While tonight offers us a difficult vision of Jesus hanging on a tree, nailed there by human sinfulness and hate, Jesus bids us come to the very foot of that cross, there to gaze at the worst humanity can do, to see the work of our sinfulness, to see God's blood upon the spearhead, God's love refused again. But we come not to know guilt and not to punish ourselves, but rather we come in hope. Our liturgy makes clear tonight the power of the cross puts to death once and for all the worst that we humans can perpetrate. Through the power of the cross, sin and death are defeated once and for all. In that defeat, there is joy and the promise of life eternal. In John's Gospel, Jesus is glorified when he hangs upon the cross. His offering of himself is the greatest act one can do for one's friends. In his death, Jesus shows the profound love God has for us. In this liturgy, as we gather at this table, past and present unite, and we worship with those who have gone before us, and we are invited to bring ourselves before the cross of Jesus, to gaze upon the sorrow and the horror, and to glimpse the promise of hope and of eternity. In a few moments, a cross will be carried into the church, and you will be invited to come forward in veneration of the cross. I invite you to come to the cross with profound gratitude for the gift of love Jesus shows us in dying for us. You are invited to come forward and to venerate however you are comfortable, to touch it, to kneel before it, or even to kiss it. And when you entered the church this evening, you were given a small blank piece of paper. I invite you to use the pencil you can find in the pew to write down any sins, any hurts, any regrets, anything you want to leave at the foot of the cross, anything you want redeemed by Jesus' love offered on the cross. I promise you no one will ever read what you write. What you leave at the cross is known only to you and to God. And then these papers will become the fuel in the fire kindled tomorrow night, that new fire of hope, of promise, of resurrection. Jesus dies on the cross because of human sinfulness and failing. But nothing is lost in God's economy. Through the power of God, all that separates us from the love of God made known in Jesus is once and for all put to death. The very power of sin and death die on that tree. Resurrection is stronger than any evil, than any power of this world. So let us come before the cross this evening, leaving before it all of our sins, all our failings. And let us go forth from the cross free to love. The death of Jesus frees us to choose love. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to refuse to act upon the impulses that dwell within us, those impulses of greed, hatred, fear, and violence. The death of Jesus sets us free from the evil of this world, free to walk in love as Christ loved us. We do live in a world of sin and of evil, of fear and of despair. May we be transformed by the power of the cross to love as Jesus loves. May we choose love, that love of God made known in Jesus. In his love is the power to transform this world. In his love is true life. Life abundant. Amen.